Intro music, warm, thoughtful, fades in and out. Host. Hello and welcome to the A-Level Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your host, and in this episode, we're diving deep into a cornerstone of the WJEC specification, religious identity and belonging. This isn't just about what people believe, it's about who they are because of that belief. How is a sense of self shaped by community, by ritual, by shared stories? Examiners love this topic because it connects theology with real, lived experience. Getting this right can be the key to unlocking those top landmarks, so let's get started. Transition music. Short, upbeat, sting. Host. So, how do we even begin to analyze something as personal as identity? A great starting point is the work of scholar Ninian Smart. He argued that religion is more than just a set of beliefs. It's a living, breathing organism with seven dimensions. For this topic, two are absolutely crucial, the social and the ritual dimensions. The social dimension is about community, the sense of belonging to a group like the Christian church or the Islamic Ummah. It's the koinonia, that fellowship. The ritual dimension covers the actions and practices that bind this group together. Think of the Eucharist in Christianity or the communal prayers in Islam. These aren't just symbolic acts, they are the glue that holds the social body together. Examiners will award significant credit for candidates who can explicitly link a specific ritual to its function in strengthening the community. Host. This idea of ritual leads us perfectly to the anthropologist Arnold van Gennep and his theory of rites of passage. He identified three key stages in any ritual that marks a change in a person's social status. First, separation, where you step away from your old identity. Think of a baptismal candidate stepping forward, leaving the main congregation. Second, liminality. This is the in-between stage, a threshold state of ambiguity. The candidate is no longer who they were, but not yet who they will be. It's a powerful, transformative moment. Finally, there's incorporation, where the individual is welcomed back into the community with their new identity. They are now a full member, a brother or sister in Christ, for example. Van Gennep gives us a powerful framework for analyzing how rituals work to create identity. Don't just describe a baptism. Analyze it through these three stages to explain its significance. Host. Now, within these communities, what's more important for belonging? What you believe or what you do? This is the classic tension between orthodoxy, meaning right belief, and orthopraxy, meaning right practice. Some traditions might place a heavy emphasis on signing up to a specific creed. That's orthodoxy. Others might define membership by your participation in rituals and your adherence to a code of conduct. That's orthopraxy. A top-level response will explore this distinction. For instance, is someone who privately holds Christian beliefs but never attends church part of the community? It's a fantastic area for evaluation. Host. Finally, let's bring in the sociologist Emile Durkheim. He took a functionalist view, arguing that religion's primary role is to create social cohesion. For Durkheim, when a community worships its God, it is in a sense worshiping itself, celebrating its own shared values and unity. The sacred objects and rituals are symbols of the collective identity. This is a more critical, sociological perspective that can really elevate your AO2 analysis. It moves beyond the theological why and into the sociological how. Transition music. Short, focused, sting. Host. Okay, let's talk exam technique. For a Part A question, which is pure AO1, you would explain these concepts clearly. For example, if asked to explain the significance of rites of passage for religious identity, you would detail Van Gennep's stages using examples like baptism or the Shahada and link them to Smart's social and ritual dimensions. No evaluation needed. Host. But for Part B, the AO2 essay, you must evaluate. A typical question might be, religious identity is defined more by actions than by beliefs. Evaluate this view. Here, you must build a structured argument. You'd use the concepts of orthopraxy and orthodoxy. You could argue for the statement, using Durkheim to show how shared practices create social cohesion. You could then argue against it, highlighting the importance of internal conviction and personal faith. A common mistake candidates make is to just describe these ideas. Don't. Use signposting language like conversely or a stronger argument might be to show the examiner you are constructing a debate. The goal is a balanced, well-supported judgment, not a one-sided opinion. Transition music. Quick, quiz-style jingle. Host. All right, time for a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes. Host. 1. What are the three stages of a rite of passage according to Van Gennep? Pause. Host. Separation, liminality, and incorporation. Host. 2. What is the difference between orthodoxy and orthopraxy? Pause. Host. Orthodoxy is right belief. Orthopraxy is right practice. Host. 3. Which sociologist argued that religion's main function is social cohesion? Pause. Host. Emil Durkheim. Transition music, warm, concluding theme. Host. So, to summarize, religious identity is a complex interplay of belief, practice, and community. Use SMART's dimensions to categorize, Van Gennep's stages to analyze rituals, and Durkheim to provide a critical sociological lens. And in the exam, remember the clear split between AO1 explanation and AO2 evaluation. Connect the theory to the practice, and you will be well on your way to securing those top marks. Host, that's all for this episode. Happy revising, and I'll see you next time. Outro music fades in and ends.